Back here at 7:41 on the Mighty 690 as we go throughout a Friday edition of the show. And we do have a fifth Friday this month, so we get another installment of State Representative Ron Bryce. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Hey, good to have you on. So I know we've had a ton of stuff that we'd like to get started with. So I know we had a good Christmas and everything, though, first of all.
Oh, it was great. And by the way, I was so sorry. I wasn't there for the live recording of the Christmas drama, the radio drama, but we did hear it Christmas morning. And I just want to say I appreciate you and KGGF for putting that on, all the people who sponsored it. It just gave me a warm feeling, the kind of nostalgic feeling of going back to the good old golden years of radio. It was great. I hope we can do it in the years to come.
Yeah, I hope so too. So it's fun to, you know, bring people together and create some new traditions is the hope. So.
Yeah, we had, just to catch up, we had a little family get together yesterday for Christmas, and we looked out the window, and I swear I saw snow. It's like a white Christmas just came for our family get together, but I guess that it was just a few flakes, nothing to stick on the ground.
But hey,
that was interesting.
It still works. I like that. So I know we have had some, getting into a few of our topics here, some very interesting and kind of exciting news about the Azure project. We're still debating on how we're supposed to say that, but you know, this coming to Montgomery County, I mean, that sounds like a pretty big project on its, you know, face value, and I hope it all works out.
Oh, that has the potential to be a real game changer. And you know, I haven't really heard the official pronunciation of it, A-Z-U-R-E. I say Azure.
Azure, yeah.
It's a Canadian company, so I imagine they have a little bit of a French flair to it. It was actually a company that was put together by a couple of years ago by former oil and gas executives when they saw the need for sustainable fuels and better ecologically friendly fuels for jet airlines. And they saw the opportunity to do this. And so they created this company, and it's named Azure, A-Z-U-R-E. The thing is, and the thing that is almost like a Christmas present for Montgomery County, the Bartlett project that's going in near Cherryville, kind of in the Tri-City area, Coffeyville, Independence, Cherryville, it is a huge, it's like a city skyline going up over there. It's hundreds of millions of dollars, perhaps $400 million construction project. They're employing who knows how many construction workers. They're upgrading the roads. They're upgrading the water supply from Elk City Reservoir, and possibly even later Big Hill. And it's going to be a game changer because this processing plant that is the Bartlett company, it's a Savage is the name of the parent company out of Utah. But these people are coming in there, and it's going to be such a boon for soybean farmers and for agriculture in general, because they will process the soybeans into oil, I won't even pretend to be an agriculture expert, but it's the you know, the husk part of the bean, the meal part of the bean, the oil part of the bean, and just tons and tons and tons of soybean oil will be produced there for different purposes. But it just so happened that a couple of years ago, maybe even less than that, 18 months ago, the Bartlett people started talking with the Azure people, and the Azure people out of Canada saw what Bartlett was doing in Cherryville and in Montgomery County, and they decided to look at a partnership. And they are well down the road now to creating, it's not 100%, but it looks very, very positive that the Azure company will build a $900 million plant adjacent to the $400 million plant of Bartlett. And the Azure company will take the oil, the soybean oil that the Bartlett plant is producing, and they will create jet fuel. And this is almost like science fiction to me. You know, you take a plant and you create jet fuel. It's almost like alchemy, you know, turning a rock into gold. But that's what they, the technology has advanced so much over the last few years. The organic chemistry, the processing, the technology, and the push for sustainable fuels. Think about it. If we take petroleum out of the ground, hypothetically, at a certain number of years, the petroleum's going to be gone, you know, as far as we know, how it's generated. But the soybean oil, you can just grow a new crop of soybeans every year. So that's what we mean by sustainable. And I haven't quite, you know, I did major in chemistry in college for a while, took organic chemistry and so forth. I haven't figured out how they have less CO2 emissions because the soybean oil, basically when it's refined and processed, becomes equivalent chemically to the petroleum molecules. But they say they, and I'll just have to confirm this, but they say it will be up to 50% less CO2 emissions for jet airliners. And we're talking about hundreds of millions of gallons of jet fuel every year. And worldwide, the leader, the industry leader, the pinpoint, the focus of the renewable jet fuel is Montgomery County, Kansas. And that's almost unbelievable that we're going to have over $1 billion total investment, and we're going to be the hub for such an important industry and such a cutting-edge industry. And so I appreciate so much, you know, Bill Webster has worked on this for Bartlett. I have to just put a shout out there for Jim Kelly, because he, he was the former representative before me for this area, and he, through the MAC group in Montgomery County, have been able to draw in these huge industrial players. And all the concerns that I've had initially have been pretty well assuaged. You know, we talk about Caney and the water supply, and we're thinking about all the water that's going to be used at this soybean plant. Is it really going to be something that we can do without causing a restriction of water supply for the residents? They have gone the extra mile on this. They're paying for millions of dollars for a huge pipeline for basically taps into Elk City Reservoir, and then their plans for a second source. You know, redundancy in their kind of industry is very important, because if one goes down, they want to have a backup. So they plan to have a backup from Big Hill Lake, and that would be in a phase two. But James, not only are they starting these projects, and you can go out there just, you know, a few miles outside of Cherryville, you can see the skyline of, looks like a city they're building. Not only are they so positive about the area, positive about Montgomery County, but they're already talking about a phase two. And a phase two could be just as impressive, just as large, but they want to be the cutting edge for aviation fuel. They want to settle here in Montgomery County because of the agricultural situation, the rail links, the highways, and one of the more important parts, and this is something I've learned in the legislature over the last year, it's relationships. Because if it weren't for the fact that the Bartlett people were friendly and conversive and knowledgeable with the Azure people, the deal never would have gone through. If the Bartlett people hadn't come to Montgomery County, and Jim Kelly and the MAC group and the local government had not been amenable to what they needed to do, it wouldn't have gone through. So we have to reach out, we have to work together, and that's something in this upcoming session. You know, in about a week, I'm going to go up to Topeka, and we're going to have the new legislative session. And I think that's one thing that I've learned, is I have core principles I will not that guide every decision I make. And basically, from a Judeo-Christian point of view that I was raised in, I feel like in Montgomery County, that is really the mindset of the majority of people. And that's what I want to represent. But I know I need to reach across to people who disagree with me. And we have to do things together, because in the legislative process, you know, people come to me with problems and they say, well, just fix this. Well, as one legislator, I can almost do almost nothing for a lot of these problems, but I can get other people, I can get agency heads, I can work with other attorneys and lobbyists and legislators and get something done. So it takes that connection. And for some reason, the Lord seems to have blessed me with the ability to connect with some people who disagree with me. Sure. And so that's what I look forward to in the upcoming session. But just to get back to the Azure project, it could be, and it looks like it could be, a big, big game changer over the next 10 or 20 years for Montgomery County.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing where that goes. So you did mention the upcoming legislative session, and is there anything you want to highlight as, you know, we kind of get into that? I also know that we have some changes because of the start of the new year and all that. You know, there are going to be some changes with some laws on the books, like the sales tax on food and all that sort of thing.
Right, and one of the biggest issues for me in this upcoming session will be taxation. I'm honored to serve on the House Taxation Committee, And I know this last session, one of our biggest disappointments was the inability to turn into law a bill, Senate Bill 169, which would have reduced taxes across the board for Kansas constituents. One of the things in Topeka that I've run into, and I want to be careful not to fall into this trap too, but a lot of us get together, we talk about taxation, how it affects agencies, how it affects this one, that one. Sometimes we lose sight of how does it affect the taxpayer? Because in the end, the taxpayer really is the person that we need to have a voice for in passing these bills. The Senate Bill 169 last year would have returned $450 million a year to Kansas taxpayers through income tax reductions, through accelerating the sales tax elimination for groceries, reducing property taxes because of the valuations and so forth. And so when we were able to pass this in both houses of the legislature, the governor did veto it, and we came within we overrode the veto with the vote in the House, and I believe the Senate was one, possibly two votes short, and that was my biggest disappointment. But House Speaker Dan Hawkins has said one of the first agenda items in the upcoming session will be to renew this process of committee work on the tax cuts, because that's really one of our top issues. I will say January 1st, like you said, there are some things that will be changing. There is already in place, sort of baked in the cake, a reduction in the state portion of sales tax on groceries. So there will be a 2% decrease in grocery sales tax. So if you buy $100 worth of groceries, which probably isn't as much as what it used to be, you know, but you spend $100 on groceries at the grocery store, it will be $2 less sales tax on that $100. So that's not highly, you know, a huge amount of money, but it is significant, you know, and it does help people as they struggle through the economy, through inflation, if we're headed to a recession, we'll see, but it helps families that are struggling to make ends meet to at least be able to purchase groceries and the things they find vital for their daily lives. And so I will be hopefully able to help with that tax bill so that we have the tax reduction, and that will be not just for 1 year, James. This will be ongoing tax decrease of $450 million a year. And this, just to give some perspective, right now the state has over $3 billion in excess revenues in the accounts, in the bank account, basically, for the state. So returning one-sixth of that per year with current revenue estimates, even if we do hit a pretty moderate recession, we should be able to sustain those tax cuts and keep state government at its current levels, even if hard times hit. Another thing that has been on my heart is we're losing a lot of population in rural areas in Kansas, and a lot of that has to do with tax codes. Some of our neighboring states don't tax Social Security benefits, and in Kansas we do. And that just makes people, you know, right here, we're sitting in Coffeyville right now. Well, part of Coffeyville is in Oklahoma, South Coffeyville, Oklahoma. They can move across the state line and have a better tax situation. So we need to work in the state of Kansas to where we can help people to live and retire and raise their families in the state of Kansas. Social Security benefits, with the tax proposal we previously worked on, it would reduce the tax on Social Security benefits by raising the exemption over several years. Another bill, by the way, is actually focused a little bit on our lieutenant governor. It's Senate Bill 328. That should be coming up. It prohibits the lieutenant governor or legislators from being employed as a state agency head. The way we're set up right now is the lieutenant governor, David Toland, is not only the lieutenant governor, but he's also been appointed to run the Department of Commerce for the Kelly administration. If this bill goes through, then that would reduce that sort of redundancy in employment by a state official. It would also prohibit uh, people running for the legislature who involved with state agencies and the governor's office. Another thing that would be coming up that you might have a comment on is there's a bill that's been introduced a couple months ago requiring each school district to employ attention deficit hyperactivity disorder specialists. In other words, the school districts, every school district would have to employ ADHD specialists. And I'm going to have to look at that a little bit more and talk with our school district, school districts in Montgomery County. But it seems to me that might be a little overreach, you know, because adding more employees will just drive up costs. I'm not sure the benefit of that. If teachers are already instructed somewhat in ADHD and how to teach, I'm not sure that would be a positive thing for our school districts. But I'll have to look at that. I haven't seen the actual legislation. I've just heard talk of it. Another school-related issue will be House Bill 2475 coming up, and it will prohibit school terms beginning before Labor Day. I don't know if anybody has any comment on that, but I guess school. My kids are in their 20s and early 30s now, so I haven't been keeping up with the school calendars. But I know that it's been infringing a little bit in people's summer activities. This bill would not prohibit summer school or having anything extending after the school semester, but it would prohibit starting school before Labor Day. So I'd like to have anybody's comments on that. And by the way, this might be a good time to bring up, if you have any comments, suggestions, a bill that you propose that you think would be a good idea, feel free to contact me. I'm very available on Facebook. It's Ron Bryce for Kansas at Facebook. And I also have a cell phone number. I'll just give that out. You can call, text 620-252-9881. Be happy to hear from you. Every day almost I'm helping constituents with problems with Medicaid, with different government agencies. I'd be happy to hear from you. Be happy to hear your suggestions. And last year, I didn't do a newsletter at the end of the session, but I did, throughout the session, have a little video clip every day or two describing what's going on in the Capitol. And I think I will continue that. That seemed to be a big hit, and people appreciated that very much. So keep an eye on Facebook, Ron Bryce for Kansas, and contact me there. Or if you have anything you want to suggest, just let me know.
And then definitely know that people enjoyed seeing that little peek inside the Capitol, because, of course, plenty of people never been up to the state Capitol, or maybe they have, but, you know, obviously we don't have time to go in there and check it out in person. So that is another great way to interact and see a little bit behind the curtain of your government at work.
Yeah. Anytime you're in Topeka during the session, let me know. I'd be happy to give you a little tour of the Capitol. And I'll just leave you. I guess we're closing up here, James, but I have a Ronald Reagan quote related to something I said just a couple minutes ago. He said, "The greatest leader is not necessarily the one who does the greatest things. He is the one that gets the people to do the greatest things." And so that's my attitude. I want to help people, work with people, get things done for the people in Montgomery County.
All righty. Well, appreciate that, sir. That is State Representative Ron Bryce here on the Mighty 690, and we'll get to talk with you here in a couple weeks.
Good.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And on the way, we have news coming up here on KGGF.